Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sal Licata back on the Fan. The Yankees' big series with the Rays a little bit later on this evening gets underway. Three games in Tampa against a team that has absolutely owned them. So I wanted to get a little different perspective as opposed to just the New York angle all the time. Nir Solons, who joins us now, is the pre and post host for the Rays on the Rays Radio Network. Neil, thanks for joining us here. Dude, what is with the dominance of your Rays over the Yankees? I just don't understand it, Neil.
You know, it used to be the other way around, especially when the Rays wanted to New York. You know, even after, you know, you go back to 08, you know, the Yankees seemed to be the team that gave the Rays the most trouble for a lot of years. And for whatever reason, the last year or two, you know, I think this group has just played really, really well. I think they get up for playing in New York. I think they do have an edge when they play at home on the turf. You know, they're a team that's kind of built for this ballpark because of the athleticism they have, the defense they play, the speed that they have. And obviously it's more of a pitching ballpark than Yankee Stadium is. So I think all those kind of work in favor. As long as they can keep the Yankees in the ballpark, they usually have a good chance of winning at home.
Let's just forget about the head-to-head for a second. How do the Rays continue to do this? I mean, year in, year out, they don't have the resources anywhere close to what the Yankees have or the top teams. How, and then this turnover, I mean, they're trading the, you know, Blake Snell, who was their ace, they trade him. Looks like the Rays on paper get worse, and yet they just continue to win ballgames, Neil. It's the same thing year in, year out. How do you explain it? And I know on the surface, all they develop the pitching and blah, 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 blah with the bullpen, but it's more than just that. How do the Rays as a system continue to not only keep up with teams like the Yankees, but be better than teams like the Yankees?
Well, I think at one, Sal, they know what fits. You know, they get guys who fit their system well. You know, they have to be, in essence, a system-run organization and guys who have a lot of buy-in and are willing to do things differently. I think, two, they're really good at developing their farm system. So they draft well. They sign players internationally really well. And then, you know, the other bucket where they're getting players that fit their system is they trade really well. You know, I think their pro scouting department, where a lot of teams cut down on pro scouting, the Rays put a lot of resources into it. And I think it's allowed them to make really good choices and find good guys. And, you know, you could say it's obviously always difficult to trade guys like they have, you know, who have been with the organization for a while, whether it was Blake Snell last year, whether it's Evan Longoria, James Shields in years past. But, you know, you mentioned the resources. They can't go out on the free agent market and replace those guys. So the only way, you know, the way the system works, the only way to continue to be good is sometimes you have to trade them in difficult moves, but also get a group of players back that you think you can help you over the long haul. And a lot of times those deals have worked out.
Yeah, I almost wonder, Neil, if it's an advantage. Other teams can be lazy a little bit or hang on to guys too long and don't have to make those difficult decisions. And then they could be stuck with players or they have the resources where they could go out there and spend, and maybe they spend on bad contracts. The Rays are limited to where, yeah, it hurts that they can't do that, but it also is a benefit that they can't do that. There are no bad contracts because they can't go out there and give those guys. But more so than that, you talk about the system. What exactly is their system?
Well, I mean, if you look at their minor league organization, I think they find guys on the pitching side who really do something really, really well. And they, basically focus on a guy's strengths over their weaknesses. When you talk to guys, even when they sign them on minor league contracts, they come into their system, they come in here and they say, they focus on what I do well, not on what I can't do. And I think that can-do attitude and the fact that they've had so many guys that they've brought in that have had success, it gets guys to buy into what they're trying to do and how they're trying to utilize them. And I think that has worked a great deal. You know, I think the other thing that works in their system is they find guys who can defend. And I think because they don't have the resources of other teams, they always have to be a run prevention team first. They have to be pitching and defense first. They're never going to be able to sign the big home run guy or keep the big home run guy, the Stantons, the Judges of the world, for long-term deals. So because of that, they may draft and develop a guy, but you're still going to be in your infancy of your career and not as polished. They need to have good defenders and they need to have good arms. And that's always been focus number one.
And that's why it's fun to watch. They play baseball the right way. We're talking about Neil Solons, who does the pre and post for the Rays on the Rays Radio Network, getting set for a big Yankees 3-game set. Look, the last time Yankees lost a series was when they got swept at home by the Rays, which is shocking. We know down there in Tampa it's been a house of horrors. But the fact that the Rays came to New York and put it to the Yankees, I mean, they own them, Neil. There's no other way to put it. Dating back to last season, the Rays absolutely own the Yankees. And that fear factor, that intimidation factor that the Yankees once had, that is completely gone. What is the feel from the Rays' perspective? Are the Yankees just another opponent? Do they get up for the Yankees? Clearly, they're not intimidated at all whatsoever by the Yanks.
It depends who you talk to, but I definitely think there's a group of players who get up for it. You know, I think, especially with what went on between the teams the last couple of years, you know, starting with the whole Sabathia incident, but I think probably even more so last year with the Chapman, you know, throwing at Brasso and everything that happened thereafter. I definitely think, you know, they play with a certain edge and a certain, you know, aggressiveness in those games that I want. I think that, you know, when these two teams face off, the Yankees are probably coming in playing as well as they have all year. They're probably closer to full strength in the Rays. And the Rays will, at least it doesn't appear, you know, they could switch the rotation around. We're not quite sure exactly how they're going to go. But right now, you know, you definitely wouldn't see Shane McClanahan, who's, you know, a standout lefty. You may or may not see Tyler Glasnow at the back end of the series. The Rays are going to have to see Gerrit Cole in the middle game. It makes it a pretty challenging 3-game set, and I think it's going to be a pretty entertaining set, too.
Now, why may we see Glasnow? They can move him up and have him start Thursday?
They could. I mean, look, he started Saturday, but they also just finished a stretch, which I think was their toughest of the year. They played 17 straight games without a day off. They had a West Coast trip. They played 30 out of 31. I would think that they would give him the extra day and have him pitch Friday against the Mets. I mean, either way, they're facing a tough 6 games. They're getting a break in this 6-game period because they don't have to face DeGrom now since he's supposed to go on the injured list. But, you know, even the Mets, they've won 5 straight, and they only have 2 games with Baltimore this week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and have days off surrounding that. So, for me, this is a pretty tough week coming off a really tough stretch.
How about that ballpark in Tampa Bay? I mean, I know it's thought about by many as one of the worst there, but it seems that there is a significant advantage. You talked about that being maybe the Rays built to that ballpark, how they play more comfortable at home. Why the specific advantage, do they thrive at home, it seems, when the Rays playing in that, what we view from the outside as an awful ballpark?
And I get that. I think the conditions are always good. I mean, you never have to worry about rain or rain delays or anything like that. And I always say, if you come down here, you probably get a different perspective. You know, having been to Fenway, the dimensions of that ballpark, the pesky Paul the Monster, have much a greater and often impact for me than, let's say, the dimensions of Tropicana Field. And probably even the short porch in New York has a greater impact. I mean, there are plenty of balls that get up on that conveyor belt in that short porch that end up out of the ballpark that would only be out, in the front row or second row or third row in New York than it would be and don't even get to the warning track at Tropicana Field. So, you know, I think for a team that has relied a lot on the home run to score runs, you know, for the Yankees, this is a tougher ballpark to hit home runs. And I think the Rays usually do a pretty good job of limiting looks for their pitchers against certain guys, especially because they've had a lot of injuries to their pitching staff. You know, I would be surprised, unless Glasnow pitches, if any pitcher the Rays has, if they're tied or ahead, would see any hitter three times in a game for New York. I would think any, you know, most New York hitters are going to probably see three, if not four, different pitchers every single game. And they may not even see the same pitcher twice in a given series. And that's what they try and do against the Yankees team because they're so potent offensively.
And it's crazy to me, Neil, and we'll talk with Neil Solons, pre- and post-host for the Rays Radio Network, ahead of the Yankees taking on the Rays. And the Rays, as you heard Neil say, will be playing the Mets coming up next week, this weekend as well on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. But you look at what the Rays do with the bullpenning, and I'm so tired of talking about it. And the reason why I mention the teams do bullpenning is because they don't have the starters. You talk about it with Glasnow, he may be the only guy if he pitches to go deep. Well, that's because he's a dominant pitcher. So generally, if you don't have that type of starter, then yeah, you're going to want to have the bullpenning take place. The Rays seem to do it so much better than anybody else. And I would think at this point, Neil, it's become a great advantage to them, and maybe other teams eventually, whether it's just the bullpenning, whether it's the Rays building to their system, will start to copy what has been such a successful system and successful program with the Rays.
You have to get buy-in, though. And I go back to a few years ago when the Rays had Sergio Romo, who was willing to open in games. And here's a guy who closed out a World Series against Miggy Cabrera. And there were a lot of young pitchers on the staff at the time. And they say, oh, Sergio Romo is willing to open a game rather than pitch in the back end of the game. He's willing to pitch in any inning for this team just for a chance to win. Well, I better follow suit because he's 30-something years old and he's got several rings. When you get that, you get the buy-in, you get guys to do it. In some markets, some guys may say, I'm paid to close, I'm closing. Or I'm paid to pitch in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, I'm not pitching in the first. Or I'm not following an opener, I'm a starter. And so I think with a young ball club and with the right veterans that they mix in, there's a buy-in. You know, they brought in Rich Hill, who I think has said, I'll start, but if you want me to pitch 2-3 innings at a clip and be, you know, kind of in between an opener and a short starter, I'll do that. Colin McHugh has said the same thing. Michael Wacha has pitched behind an opener. Here are three guys who've pitched for playoff teams, for World Series teams, who say, I'll go in any role you want. So they have been picky and choosy with the type of free agents they bring in. They think they have the stuff to fit in their system, but they're also good clubhouse guys. And that teaches the young guys, and all of a sudden they're going, well, if 41-year-old Rich Hill is doing it, I better do whatever the staff feels can help us win the most. And the other thing is, Sal, is all of their minor league teams before the pandemic all made the playoffs, all the full-season clubs in their last year. It was rated the number one system in the minors, so all these guys have won all the way through. So they know, or at least have a confidence, that when they come to the ballpark, they have a chance to win, and the organization will do what they can to put them in a position to win, too.
And you think it's the same thing in the minors? It's just the system or the organizational philosophy? I mean, forget about analytics and data and
talent.
Launch angle and all.
Okay. It's talent, too. You know, I think that they've got a tremendous scouting group internationally, pro scouting. You know, when they make trades and I start hearing about guys like Randy Rosarena was a good example. You know, rare is it that the Rays actually trade a player for a top prospect. You know, Matthew Liberatore is a left-hander who I think is in AAA now with St. Louis, who the Rays dealt, and everyone said, oh, he's a top 100 guy. How are you dealing him? And what I started hearing was the Rays evaluated Randy Rosarena differently than a lot of teams. They thought, in their mind, his talent was that of a top 100 prospect. Well, by the end of the year, it showed that way, as he performed extremely well in the postseason, and at a postseason that's probably rivaled by, you know, other than Barry Bonds, not many other guys in the history of the game in terms of how well he performed and helped launch them into the World Series last year. So I think their evaluation process is really good. You know, they evaluate a little bit differently. They don't care necessarily what the prospect guides say. They go with what their evaluations say, and they really believe in the people they have on the ground and in terms of the analytics.
Now, you mentioned the postseason, Neil, so that begs the question, is there a limitation here? I know sometimes you get in the playoffs and it's luck, and it's not like the Rays haven't won postseason series, obviously being in the World Series a year ago. But is there a cap as far as how sustainable this success is in the postseason to win championships? We know in the regular season it turns out 90 wins, it seems regularly. But is there a limitation because of the talent difference come playoff time?
You know, I think it depends the way you want to look at it. Like, you know, some people would say Kansas City's a small market and they went to back-to-back World Series. But they also basically said, we're going to go for it and then we're okay bottoming out for a bit. I think the Rays kind of look at themselves similarly to a Cleveland, to an Oakland, where they want to compete every single year. And sometimes that means they have to make tough choices. I think the philosophy here is the Rays have a better chance to win a World Series if they're in the postseason or in the hunt every year. And then if at some point, if you keep doing that, everything's going to break right and you're going to get there and you're going to win the World Series instead of being two games short as they were last year. You know, I think just like the Yankees feel, they need to, in a different way, the Yankees feel they compete every single year for a World Series championship. That's the goal. I think the philosophy is similar. They just have to do it with very different resources and go about it a little bit differently.
Yeah, look, it hasn't happened for the Yankees either. I mean, they've been in the postseason last several years, have had some success, but hasn't been to the, they haven't been to the World Series since they won it in 2009, which is just hard to believe. So you look at that, I know sometime. Good.
Look how long it took the Dodgers to break through.
Yeah.
I mean, it took them, what, 3 decades between championships. It's hard. It's, I mean, people want to say, hey, you know, it's terrible not to win the World Series, but it's hard to win the World Series. It's hard to have a dynasty-type run in this era, you know. I guess you could say Boston won, what, 3 in a very short period of time, but it's still very, very rare in this day and age.
I mean, last one for you, Neil. Are we looking at, I think in my mind I am, are we looking at the, you know, the top two teams or the teams to beat in the American League again with the Yankees? And all due respect to the Red Sox, and I, you know, I can't concern myself with the A's, who have always been a flop in the postseason. It's a long way to go. We don't know how it's going to shake out, the White Sox or the Indians with their pitching. But, I mean, I look at these – from the Yankees' perspective, I look at the one team that would scare me. It's the Tampa Bay Rays. Do the Rays feel that the same way with the Yankees?
I think – I definitely think the Yankees are a team to beat. I think – and a lot of people look at it as the team to beat. You know, I think this is a weird season because you're going from 60 to 162, and there's going to be a lot of health concerns throughout this season. You know, once guys get to 2-3 months, are some, especially in the pitching side, you know, who holds up well? And I think the Rays do have a lot of pitching depth. You know, I'm curious how well, like, Kluber and Tyone hold up for the Yankees over time. You know, they're looking good now, but it's still mid-May. And that's the reason why I wonder how well the Red Sox are going to hold up, because, you know, I think they've played 13 of their first 36 against the Orioles and the Tigers. They haven't played a series with the Yankees. They played 3 games in the second series of the season against the Rays. They're back-ended with a lot of games where the Rays haven't even faced Baltimore yet. I think the Yankees are good. I think the Astros are a lot better than people realize, but I also wonder about their pitching holding up. And I do like the Oakland Ball Club, although I think they've got to find a way not to burn out their bullpen, because they're using the same 3 guys day in, day out, whenever they have a chance to win. And, you know, I think in this environment, going from 60 to 162, you better have 5 or 6 guys that you can trust over a full season, or you're not going to have arms come September and October.
Yeah, a long way to go till September and October, but no question, Yankees and Rays meeting up specifically for the Yankees this time, starting later on this evening, this 3-game series in Tampa. This is going to have a playoff feel for them. And then this is a big series. Yanks been struggling. They haven't lost a series since Tampa, and they just need to prove that they can actually beat this team. Even if it is just taking 2 out of 3 in Tampa, they'll see them again at the beginning of June, and then not till the end of July, and that's it for the rest of the year until maybe the playoffs. So should be an interesting 3-game series. Thanks for your time, Neil. We appreciate it.
You got it, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Neil Solon's pre and post host for the Rays Radio Network. We'll be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!